Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show about the Akashic Records and the show where you are the guest tonight. So this show will be as good as your questions are. So I really encourage you to get your questions ready and get ready to call in. And this show can be about anything you want it to be. I had a wonderful weekend. I was at the Journey Expo here in Cleveland, Ohio. I met a lot of wonderful people, had a great talk today. There was quite a few people at my lecture today about the Akashic Records and prosperity. In fact, that was actually in preparation for the Prosperity Marketing Workshop that's coming up at the end of the week on the 13th and 14th. And what's nice about this workshop is you don't have to have Akashic Record experience in order to be able to take this workshop. You just have to be open, to be willing to receive and be willing to shift your money lies, the things that you've been told, to go to the core issues of what it is that you truly want to create in your life and the core issues about what you think is blocking you. So that's what's coming up this coming weekend. But what I would like to talk to you tonight about, and again, this subject is not written in stone. The subject matter is what I'm going to start out with, and you can come out and ask any question you want. And hopefully you have the numbers of BBS Radio. Let me give them to you just in case you're streaming in and you don't know where BBS Radio comes from. The telephone numbers toll-free to call are 877-876-5227 in the U.S. In Canada and the U.S., it's 888-815-9756, or if you want to just dial direct, if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and you can call 530-876-9146. Now, what I do want to tell you is that if you happen to miss this program or you know someone who wanted to listen in, remember we have archives, so you can go up to the BBS Radio .com, and you can go in and register for archives, and you can download any of the shows that you want that you've missed. So remember, those are there for you. Okay, so I was at the expo this weekend, and one of the interesting things that, you know, when you have a booth at the expo, people come up and they ask you what the Akashic Records are all the time, and they want, and that's a legitimate question, and I love answering that question. One of the interesting things is they wanted to know, where are the Akashic Records? Where are they held? Where can they touch them? How can we access them? And et cetera. So we had a lot of questions like that. Just a comment, is the Akashic Records are held in the etheric body, of every individual as well as the planet, and then galactically. So that's something that you might want to know, is that they are held in the etheric body. They are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. But you know, the Akashic Records are so much more than just learning about past lives. And the way I work with them, we don't really move toward the future except to help you make a decision about what you would rather do. So one of the things we talked about this weekend at the booth was, how do you use the Akashic Records to make a decision? Because, again, I access the records with a holy prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key, and it shifts the energy to make the information accessible. Now, and so I'm always conscious. So I have my records open now. And so that's why calling in is a great thing, because then you make the program yours. And I want you to also know, although we really don't cover what's my purpose questions a lot, mainly because it's only interesting to you, you can ask pretty much anything you want. So I encourage you to call in, because whatever you have to ask, it's going to be valuable for the listeners. It's always valuable. There's always a lesson to be learned. There's always information to be shared. And you are a very important part of this program, as I say, and not only all the workshops that I do, but also on this program that this experience that you're having by listening is made rich by your questions. There is no stupid question, and there's really pretty much no inappropriate question. I might be opening myself up to that a little bit wide for that one, but not a worry. I can handle it. And moreover, the record keepers can handle it because I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. So it's not my information. It's yours when you're asking. You can always email me questions, too, at info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. So, okay, so we were talking about where are the Akashic records held. And they're, as I said, they're held in the etheric body. And we were also talking about, well, why would somebody want to access? Well, that, too, has to do with what you want to learn in your life. In the lecture I was talking, and you can use the Akashic records as a way to learn more about your life and why things are the way they are and why things happened the way they did and why you chose the different family of origin you chose and all those wonderful questions and more. So we were talking about also, we were talking about prosperity in the lecture. And I know you've heard me talk about prosperity in many times. However, what's interesting is that we did I did a lecture on the records and then brought forth a message on prosperity, especially for the group gathered. One of the things that were that came forward that is important for us all to know and remember is that for those people who have chosen to have challenges financially in this lifetime, remember that that can shift at any time. You are not, you don't have to be poor for the rest of your life. And so it, what was, what's interesting about that, what came forward earlier, and the, one of the reasons I remember it is not only do I have my records open now, but my friend, you've heard her speak on the radio, Nikki was there, and she wrote down almost verbatim what my message was, which was great because I didn't remember what I said anyway. And one of the things that I felt was really valuable was that when you work, when you're working with manifesting and when you're working with prosperity, it's important to realize that it's about aligning with your own personal self-esteem and being ready to receive. And what that means is that it's about really creating a, an emotional timeline in your life and taking a look at where you stopped or you learned that it wasn't okay to receive things, that it was better to just give and not receive. Because when you get stuck in just giving, you actually throw your life off balance. I just want you to think about that. If you're constantly giving, you don't allow people to give to you. It's almost like you just refuse to, you refuse to receive from them, and when you refuse to receive from them, you're not opening yourself up to the gifts of light and balancing your life. Now, the other thing is I want you to think about, you may have some friends that when you do something for them, they thank you so profusely, you want to say, enough already, stop thanking me. I did it because I wanted to do it. And that's something you really, I mean, it's always important to say thank you. But sometimes people can actually thank you too much. So remember that the receiving part is just as important as the giving part. Let me talk a little bit more about that. When you are willing to receive, you also open yourself up to the trust of the knowing that you will always be taken care of. And that's very important. To trust the knowing that you'll always be taken care of. And if you're struggling with trusting the universe or trusting yourself, that's when you want to really kind of go back into your life and do what we're calling an emotional timeline to see where you stop trusting. One of the reasons that's important is because as a child, we come in trusting. We just do. I mean, I don't think there's anything more trusting than a little kid. You know, you can just see it in their eyes. They just trust that they're going to be taken care of. And so it's that concept of the trusting that you'll always be taken care of, somewhere along the line, that trust was shaken. And so what's important about going back in time to find out when that trust was shaken is that it's going to give you a really big clue as to how you can work out the wounding that created the lack of trust in yourself and the lack of trust in the divine. So think about that for a minute. Think about the fact that when we don't trust, it's not just ourselves we're not trusting. It's real important there. How can you learn to trust yourself? That's a big question. And so part of that learning to trust is about giving up being right. The reason you want to give up being right is you want to just be in observation of what feels good rather than what is right to do. Because many times what you quote-unquote think is right doesn't feel so good. Because you're shooting that. You're saying, well, I should be doing this, even though your gut says it doesn't feel so good. So I'm willing to take some conversation on that. So why don't you give a call? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what in your life has challenged you to such an extent that you find it hard to trust yourself or others, or has challenged you to the point where you don't trust God. Let's talk about that. Talk about how that's affected you. Let's get into the core issues so that we can assist you in shifting that fear or that lack of trust and move it to a different place at a different time or neutralize it so it doesn't have that stronghold on you. See, one of the things about prosperity is that people who actually win money, like in the lottery, they've done a survey and a good number of people, I think it's almost 85%, are broke within 2 years. And one of the reasons they're broke is because they just haven't learned how to receive. And for whatever reason, within themselves, they don't feel confident enough with enough self-esteem and self-worth to keep the money. It's almost like they have to give it away. They have to spend it. Because it's like instant gratification or the opportunity to quote unquote make people like them. And also there's some rather wrong decisions on investments and things. But I want you just to think, if someone handed you $10 million, immediately you'd probably feel really happy. And you could think of all the things you would do with that $10 million. But sometimes your little monkey mind comes in and starts worrying about, well, how am I going to handle that? Or, will people really like me for me? They might not like me for me. They'll just want my money. And all of a sudden, what was all set up for you to receive, you have now blocked with your inability, if you will, or the challenge of not being able to receive or not trusting about receiving. And so it's really about aligning your self-esteem and your self-worth to receive that which is your birthright, which is unlimited financial prosperity and abundance. So what would it feel like if you were to hold that concept within your heart, that it's my birthright to enjoy and receive unlimited financial abundance and unlimited financial prosperity and abundance. My birthright. It's not an entitlement, it's a birthright. It's about being willing to receive it. So, if you're having blocks around that, or you feel uncomfortable about the possibility of being able to manage the money, I mean, what are the money lies we talk about? I don't know where it's coming from. I want the money, and I feel like I can get the money, but I don't know where it's coming from. Don't worry about it. Just align with the feeling of receiving it. You know, when we try to manufacture and we try to push the river about how it's going to come to us, that's really one of the ways that we block it. We just really want to be open and allowing to receive it in any way the universe wants to bring it. That's very important. Very important. And there, you know, you have abundance in a lot of different ways. And you receive the gifts of the universe in many, many ways. And when I tell you a story, and this is about abundance, and it is also about prosperity. I was in California, and I had actually gotten to California and was looking for a place to be, and there was like, I flew into California, I didn't have a hotel, and I was going to be there for like 9 or 10 days, and I wanted a place that had a kitchen in it. Now, for anyone who has ever been to Santa Monica, it's not like they have extended stay Americas anywhere around, and I knew that what my budget was, and I didn't want to spend $200 a night. But I wanted a place that not only could, that had a kitchen, but I was really clear. What I saw in my mind's eye is I wanted to have a place just like an apartment. I wanted to have like a mini apartment. And I'm driving around in the Santa Monica area, and I'm saying, okay, guys, this is what I really want. So show me where I need to stay. Now, remember, this is no advanced reservations and no clue about where I was driving, okay? I'm in a rental car, and I'd literally just gotten off the plane, all right? Well, what's interesting is I come across a place at the corner of California and 3rd. Now, anybody who knows Santa Monica knows where I'm talking about. But right at the, I'm driving, this is a few years ago, as a matter of fact, I'm driving, and I turn the corner, and here the sign says that it's a hotel, but it's an apartment hotel. I mean, how incredible is that? So I'm on my cell phone, I call up, and I'm thinking, this is just too good to be true. So I call up and I say, can you tell me about your properties? And she, lady says that they really only have one property, that it's a former apartment complex, and now it is a hotel and they have rooms. And the rooms are actual one-bedroom apartments. Some are efficiencies and some are one-bedroom apartments. And here I am, how soon can I see your, do you have a vacancy, number one? I gave her the dates I was going to be there. And she said, yes, we do. I said, how soon can I see your property? She said, you can see it as soon as you like. I said, well, I'm right outside. I'm coming in. And lo and behold, I was actually able to secure this apartment. It was a beautiful, furnished, one-bedroom apartment. It was large enough for me to actually have a workshop there. I mean, it wasn't a big workshop, but there was, it was room enough in the living room and dining room area to have 10 or 15 people. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was like straight out of, I want to say, the 60s. It was like these wonderful little apartments and had the pool that was in the center. And it still exists today, by the way. Well, at least it did 2 years ago when I was in Santa Monica. And it was right there at the corner of California and 3rd. It was called the Kalmar Hotel Apartments. And it was very, it's a great place to stay for those people who are going into California and want to feel like home. And it came with off-street parking on top of it, like a little garage porch. I mean, that was amazing. The price has gone up since I've been there, but it was just such an amazing find. And I want to put that story in your mind because I trusted that I would find exactly what I was looking for. And I trusted that it would show up. That is what abundance and prosperity is all about. Totally. Now, there's another situation I want to share with you. This is all about trust. It's all about knowing that the universe will take care of you. Now, I understand that you may have gone through some situations where the universe or you feel the universe has let you down or you feel that there's no way out. But I've got to tell you, friends, that what's going on is that you're playing your a lack of belief, underlying core belief within you. Even though you're saying, I believe and I have faith on the surface, underlying those core beliefs are talking about it can't happen, who do you think you are, you know, you can't ever get what you want. All that junk is playing underneath the line. And it's about getting at that stuff that's underneath the line that is so important when it comes to manifesting. Now, if you want to remember, for those people who listen on a regular basis, a few weeks ago I told you my husband got laid off from work. After 28 years, he got laid off. And, you know, naturally when one paycheck goes, a person gets, you know, you can get a little scared when you realize now that he's laid off, I'm going to have to pick up the slack here. And so I started like running in through my mind about, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I've got all these people to call. And it's not that I don't do well with my Akashic Records work. I do. But there's a big difference between supporting a whole household and being a partnership and the money's gone from that partner. And it's not that I can't do it. I don't mean to say that. I'm saying that at the time it happened, it created a bit of a spin. And clearly, there was some fear going on. And it lasted about a day and a half. And what I realized is that I cannot allow it to control me. Because if I allow it to control me, it's going to get the better of me. And if it gets the better of me, then I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do. And one by one, I started attacking, if you will, or moving forward and seeing what was left of my underlying beliefs around the fear and the fear of not being taken care of and all that other stuff. And as I moved into them and eliminated them, the phone started ringing more. And it also came clear that maybe I was going to need to get a part-time job. But I couldn't figure out what I would want to do that was going to pay me enough money to be able to go out and work. It's like, it's not that I'm being a snob. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying that I can't work for $7 an hour because that would not help my family. That would not help my household right now. It just wouldn't be enough for me. Wouldn't be enough for us. And my husband and I were having dinner out, and lo and behold, who walks in the restaurant was a man that I hadn't seen for a good 8 years, who was a former employer of mine. This, in fact, he was the employer that was right before I went full-time with the Akashic Records, and so there he is in this restaurant. So weird. And we said hello. He asked me what I'm doing. I said, I'm doing my spiritual stuff. And he said, are you open to doing any projects? I said, sure, on a short-term basis or whatever. Absolutely, I'm interested in doing some projects. So out of the blue comes this man that has some consulting work for me to do. And how great is that? That can happen out of the blue. And so I'm trying to tell you that you have to have faith. If it happens to me, it can happen to you. You know, we're not that different. We're not different at all. The only difference between us is I'm talking to you on the radio, and we're not talking in a conversation as friends on the telephone. But I'd like you to think about that. I'd like you to think about the fact that that's exactly what's happening here. We're having a conversation, and I'm trying to help you understand that you don't have to have you don't have to be beaten down, that there are so many ways that you can move into your own light, and you can move into creating that which you truly want. So I would love to hear from someone who'd like to talk about this, because if there's some way that I can help you feel better about the situation you're in, or help you come up with some ideas about not to fix you, but to be able to help you move in a different way and trust more, I would love to do that. So I'm going to invite you to call 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-815-9756 in Canada, or 530-876-3222. And just a comment is, if you hear somebody call in, and then you try to call in, there's really only one line coming in for this station. So as soon as you hear them hang up, you can go ahead and call back. But the lines are open right now, and I would love to hear from you. Next week, by the way, we're going to be talking to Jean Heller, and she is the owner of the Journeys of Life bookstore in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm actually going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at her bookstore the weekend of the September 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's my birthday weekend. But I had such a good time in June when I went there that Jean has asked me to come back. And so I invited her on the program. And because she has a bookstore, we're going to be talking about not only what's going on with her bookstore. We're going to talk about how to run a bookstore. We're going to talk about the substance abuse community, because she is very much into working with helping people move out of debilitating patterns. This is on her own in a different way. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about with Jean. And I certainly hope that you go up to her website. It is it's journeysoflife.com. That's her bookstore. And so if you're looking for books, that would be a good place to do. If you live in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, I'm going to be doing a introductory lecture on September 19th and doing individual face-to-face consultations at her store on September 20th and 21st. So come on down, say hello, and come into the store and meet me, and let's get your consultation going. Other than that, you can do a telephone consultation. But if you're in the Pittsburgh area, I would love to meet you. Okay, so getting back to prosperity. If you were to think about your life, and you were to think about your dreams, what do you believe your action steps could be in creating your dreams, manifesting them? I'm not talking about just waiting for the universe to bring it to you, because that's one that takes trust, and I agree it happens. But what action steps can you partner with the universe to create? What do you need to do to be able to move forward on your path to create that which you truly want? Who would you have to be able to really move into your greatness? In fact, what is your greatness? Have you ever defined it? If you were to stand and move into your greatness, what and how would your life be? It was like, how would your life change? Who would you still have in your life if you were to stand in your greatness? Or would someone have to leave your life for you to stand in your greatness? Would that be too much change for you, and that's what you're worried about? Think about that. Yeah. What part of you needs love? And the reason that's coming forward is because when you're feeling a lack of trust, there's a part of you that is also feeling a lack of love. And so in order to be able to move into that, you really want to be able to take a look at the areas that you are feeling the most sad about or the most deficient in. And those are the things that you need to love the most. And so that's really important for you to do. Now I'm going to check my email and see if, in fact, we have some questions here. Okay? The other thing is if you'd like to email me, you can email me questions at info@akashicwisdom.com. So let me just see what we have here. We do have someone. Okay, so this question is, how do we discern, it's a different subject, but that's okay, how do we discern actual memories from false memories, especially if they profoundly affect us? So how do we discern from actual memories from false memories when they affect us? Well, first of all, it's very important for you to be able to verify, if you can, memories with people, like siblings or parents, but sometimes they won't tell you the truth either. I've got to wait for the record keepers to talk about false memories and real memories here. Just give me a second. What the record keepers are saying is that if, in fact, the memories themselves are affecting you in a very real way, it's not about discerning whether they're false or they're true. It's about going deeper into the way they're affecting you, and even if they're false, if they're affecting you as if they're true, then in your subconscious they're true. So you have to handle them in moving forward in a very specific forgiveness way. If the memories that you have are affecting your emotional being, you have to be able to release the hold they have on you by first finding out or by exploring the gift of the wounding. And then moving into your own personal forgiveness of self. So what I'm hearing is, it doesn't make any difference whether it doesn't, false or true, if they're affecting you, it doesn't make any difference. You handle them the same way. Because if you're having false memories that profoundly affect you, someone telling you that it's not true is not going to help. You're still feeling it. And so that's very important for you to realize. I hope that's helpful. We have another question here. Let me see. Sometimes their questions are so long that it's hard. I don't mean to have dead air here. And this question is too vague for me to answer. I'm going to read the question for you, but in order for me to answer questions, my friends, if you're going to email, the more specific the question, the better the answer. So let me explain. It says, I have felt very compelled to work on certain projects that I perceive as timely and important. According to Akashic Records, is there a purpose to these projects? My projects past my own quest. I realize each personal quest contributes to experience the whole. What I am curious about is if the projects have a purpose of their own. Now, that type of question is a wonderful question for an individual consultation. It's not necessarily a question that I could even begin to answer on the air because it's so personal to that person that I can't go deep enough to help them. So it's really more about that, but it's a great question for a consultation, because then we could go deeper into what the actual projects were that this person was speaking about. So I really want to help you understand that, okay? However, one of the things that's coming forth even about this question is it also has to do with how you feel. What is the motivation for these projects? So, and this is kind of a global answer I can give you that will help other people. Are you involved in currently situations or organizations or projects? Are you doing it because you think you should do it? Or are you doing or being involved because you want to be involved? Because you have to look for the joy. And it doesn't... makes no difference. If you are joyful, you are going to feel better about what you're doing. And when you feel better about what you're doing, you're going to shift your energy. And when you shift your energy, you shift the energy of the planet, because you are an inhabitant of this planet. And every time someone shifts their energy to joy, things change. Our vibration is raised. So that's kind of the best answer that one can that they could give without a more specific situation. Okay, so I want you to understand that the more specific the questions, the better the answers, and I like it so much better when you call me. So I would love to hear from you. If you're in the calling area, please don't hold back. We have a good 15 more minutes left to talk, and I would love to talk to you, and about any subject, okay? Remember, this program is as good as you ask. Okay. there was a question that came up. There was a question that came up in the lecture today about the different belief systems on ascension. And I wanted to just make a comment. It seemed to be really important to some of the folks in the lecture that were at the audience that there be an end result to our being here on planet Earth. And I just wanted to kind of talk to you about that. There's so many folks out there that have set up belief systems around the concept of ascension, that you have to do certain things in order to ascend, and you have to say things and do things, etc., in order to be able to ascend. And if you feel that's important for you, then it's your truth. There's so many different levels of truth on that. But I'll go into that another time. But we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Donna.
And who is this?
This is Nikki.
Oh, hey, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good.
How are
you?
So what's your question tonight?
Well, I'm listening to what you've been talking about and what you were talking about earlier today and about trust. And about, I'm wondering how maybe some of your listeners have similar situation about how, what the record keepers would say about discerning how to, when to trust if very early on those that you perceived in authority you did not trust. So if you've like really never trusted authority figures or anyone from a very early age, then how does one build discerning when to trust and when not to?
So what you're saying is that as a child, your ability to trust was actually broken down because of your relationship with adults and because you were always being told you were wrong. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and I'm sure that hits home with a lot of people out there. Great question. So the idea here is that, first of all, when you're trying to build up trust for yourself, it's about taking baby steps that will help you actually trust what you do. Let me get this from them. It's the idea of trusting other people comes from a place of feeling confident within yourself that you know what you know and you know what you want. And so the place to start is with yourself, and it starts with trusting you. And the steps to that have to do with baby steps, for example. And the baby steps are about, well, for one thing, it's about trusting yourself that you're going to finish what you start. So, for example, in other words, like, it's not about trusting somebody else yet. That's kind of like ahead of the game. Trusting yourself is about trusting that you will do what you say you're going to do, and then the more you trust you, the more you get the sense of trust, of feeling what that feels like to feel confident and trusting, and then that's the barometer that you use when you're dealing with other people and other adults. Does that make sense to you?
It sort of does, but okay. I'm just wondering in those scenarios when you've been so, we'll say brainwashed, for lack of a better word,
sure.
That like anything that you're wanting to do, like you just don't trust it.
You don't trust wanting to do it, or you don't trust that you're able to do it?
Wanting to do it.
Okay. So are you saying that at one point you decide you want to do it, it feels good, and the next day it doesn't?
Yeah, it's like you're always second-guessing yourself.
So basically what the issue is being afraid of being wrong.
Right.
In other words, it's not about not trying. No, there's two different issues. The issue, there's an issue around being afraid of being wrong, and then there's an issue around not trusting the people you deal with. Do you see the difference there?
Well, it's interesting to me because I think it ties in, especially when you have then, like for children, when they're being wrong, if they're afraid of being wrong because they feel love is being will be withheld.
Right. That's correct. Well, that's one of the reasons why people have such a problem with being afraid of being wrong.
Right.
And so the idea here is again, they're talking about baby steps here. So they're talking about you building up a love muscle within yourself of doing things that make, again, that make you feel good about you so that you have a reference point for feeling good and knowing what you want to do. And it's small things. So for example, there's an example they're telling you that if a person... Yeah, see, they're going back to trust here. They're going back to the idea that it's about trusting that you're going to finish what you say you're going to finish because there has been criticism that you never finish what you start. Does that make sense to you?
Not really.
No, that's okay. I mean, in other words, like, but something, there's something about, you know, you not being... There's something around you not trusting yourself for your making your decisions based on the fact that you were wrong for a variety of different reasons. That's what we were talking about, right?
I'm not sure right now.
No. What we were talking about earlier is that. The family of origin would criticize you would say something, they would tell you were wrong, in fact, when you were right, so you felt like you were right, then they told you were wrong, and then you felt wrong again.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what the record keepers are saying is, it's about you actually reparenting yourself and showing yourself when you feel right, and it's about actually taking baby steps to do that. It's about setting yourself up to do something that you know is right, you feel it's right, and you feel confident about being right. So it's not about dealing with those other people anymore who have made you feel wrong. It's about you dealing with yourself and setting up different activities that you are going to succeed in feeling right about. That you have a barometer of feeling right. And once you start trusting yourself because of those different situations, when someone comes into your life that you are not sure if you should trust or not, it's almost like your sense of your feelings will actually tell you whether or not to trust that person, based on the actions you've taken and the barometer of feeling trusting towards yourself. I feel like I'm talking in circles here. Okay, so what I need from the record keepers now is an example of what this means. So, if, in fact, you were to make a decision as one baby step to be able to trust yourself to complete something so that you understood what it felt like to trust yourself to do. See, one of the some of the things about trust here, though, Nikki, has to do with not feeling competent to make decisions. You understand that?
Well, right.
Because
of the originally, like, from the very young age, feeling, yes, you did know, but then being told you didn't, that leaves you feeling that way, I suppose.
Yeah, so the idea here is, but it's what they said before, it's about setting yourself up for a situation where you feel and you know that you can trust your decision to be appropriate. So, for example, I know this makes no sense to me, but I'm going to say it anyway. What they're saying is to make a decision that you are going to do a mundane act every day for 30 days, so to the point that you trust yourself to do it and you can count on yourself to complete that task. Just the completing of the task for 30 days will actually shift and create a very strong muscle of trust within you. Because it's about you saying you're going to do something and then you doing it is a way of stepping into trust of self. I mean, it could be anything from making your bed to brushing your teeth. I'm not saying you personally, but let's say someone, for example, doesn't make their bed every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide that's what they're going to do. So every morning when they get up, as soon as they get out of that bed, they make the bed. That's what their choice is. And they set themselves a time, and they say they're going to do it, and they do it. And all of a sudden, they can actually trust themselves to do something, even if it's mundane. And that level of trust then builds on itself because it has to do with feeling. You know, the lack of trust has to do with an uncertain feeling. And so the more you can do things for yourself that feel good and feel that you are doing it because you say you're going to do it, because it feels good, and you're actually acting out what you couldn't act out as a child. As an adult, but you are the one that makes up the rules. That's where the trust gets built. So ask a question about that, because I have a sense you don't understand what I'm talking about.
Sort of. I guess I'm not understanding that concept of feeling like you're not following through with some things, because I guess I've seen it more from the other way around.
What do you mean?
Builds to the lack of trust of others saying that they're going to do something and then not doing it.
You mean the other people?
Yeah. And so.
Well, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what's occurring to me anyway, from thinking from like a childhood standpoint of that. And
so that somebody that you're an adult in a child said they were going to do something and they didn't do it.
Right.
But you can't control that. You can only control you.
Right. No, it's interesting though if you're like to look at that pattern though, to look at. I think it is anyway to see that, you know, that may and then maybe you'll have to I'd have to look at other things that you might be carrying that over. Yourself and as an adult, based on what you had seen.
Right. So the idea is that's the piece. And it was like if you see somebody that they don't follow through, or it's almost like you learn from your adults more about how to treat yourself and other people by the way they react to you rather than anything they could ever tell you. So if watching someone act in a way that's mistrusting, then that's the way you're going to start treating yourself. And so, not to mention the fact you're not going to trust what other people say. So that's what the record keepers are saying is by you controlling the environment and doing what you feel, your internal knowingness of trust gets expanded, and that when you run up against someone that you feel you can't trust, you immediately know that feeling doesn't match what a trusting feeling feels like. Because it's a feeling. And you act on the feeling because you're already, you're anchoring the feeling of trust within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So much so to the point that if in fact whoever you meet doesn't align with that same feeling, in other words, it's an energetic thing, Nick. It's like, you meet someone and they say they're going to do something and you get a kind of a spidey sense, if you will, of I don't feel that's going to work. You innately know in your gut who to trust and who not to. And the way that you can make that bigger is by trusting yourself to such an extent that when that energy doesn't align with yours, you know who to trust and who not to.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about setting yourself up and reparenting yourself and just starting with baby steps to be able to help yourself more by doing what you say you're going to do, because what they're saying is the majority of people don't trust themselves because they've let themselves down in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have let ourselves, as humans, let ourselves down, so, for example, told us ourselves one thing and did something else or didn't
right.
do it, that creates the lack of trust. And so by starting with baby steps of doing one thing that we can count on, that we know that we're doing, that we said we're going to do and we're going to do it, that's what builds the muscle.
And then
because then it becomes a feeling, and then it becomes an energetic aspect that mm-hmm. we can count on.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not feel like it connects the dots, But you have to understand, again, they're saying the more you trust yourself, the more you're going to learn, you're going to know who to trust and who not to, because they will or will not align with that feeling within you and your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what you act on.
Mm-hmm. And then I think I find it interesting that they're equating then, you know, trusting yourself and loving yourself with then trusting that you will receive and with prosperity.
Right.
I find that very interesting how that's all tied together.
Yeah, it is. And that's the other piece. It's really about being willing to receive and feeling good enough about yourself to receive. That's all tied together.
Right.
I didn't mean to repeat you. We have 2 minutes. I have to close.
All right.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. But I'm going to close the records, and then we can move on. Again, I wanted to just comment, if you're looking, we'd love to have you see you at the conference for Akashic Record Consultants International in October. Please go to the website of akashicrecordconsultantsinternational.org. And you can call me at 216-691-1233. If you have any further questions offline or you would like to schedule a consultation. So for tonight, I'd like to say I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that everyone who is listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you would all join me in saying amen. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. And tune in with me and Gene Haller next week. Bye-bye. BBS.